Today's episode is sponsored by Nance Lawn and Landscape. Owned by my future brother-in-law, DJ Nance, Nance Lawn and Landscape is your number one source for lawn care in Sumter. Normal lawn maintenance, landscaping, flower bed edging, cleanup, weed eating, whatever you need, he does it all. Visit Nance Lawn and Landscape on Facebook for plenty of before and after pictures just to get an idea of what DJ can do for you. Give him a call today for a free estimate. That is 803-236-8247. Again, that's 803-236-8247 for Nance Lawn and Landscape. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Jude.
I'm Blake.
I'm Brian.
You are now listening to the Not Religious Podcast.
Welcome.
We're glad you're here. We're glad that you finally listened to that little voice in the back of your head, that little voice in your heart that was trying to get you to listen.
Because you don't know crap and you want to learn about everything in the world.
You finally swallowed your pride. You're here with us now. We thank you. You're welcome.
Yes. Even the people who are being discouraged not to listen, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. We have snacks.
Not for you, though.
Not for you, for us. We have cold brew for us. Not for you.
Not for you.
But we are here today, again, to bring you another episode. This time, we're going to get a little trippy. Brian, what is our topic of discussion today?
Parallel universe.
Oh my gosh.
Bum, bum, bum.
We are about
That's to, very trippy.
We're about to dive in to all types of mind-blowing crap.
Well, what I want to see come from this is I want to discuss it, and I want to see, like, I already know what the mainstream Christian perspective is that, you know, it's not in the Bible, so it doesn't exist.
Right.
But I want us to discuss, like, is there room for that in our faith? Like, is that even a possibility? Like, towards the end of this, because I know we have a lot to talk about.
And I'll save my opinion for the very, very end of it.
Yeah.
All right. So, we have had many, many discussions about this. In particular, once the phenomenon known as the Mandela effect came into play.
Right.
For those of you who might have remembered that, a few years ago, they started coming out with these events that some people remember, some people don't. There's some, you know, everyone swears up and down they remember such and such instead of this way or that way, you know, came to be known as the Mandela effect, because Nelson Mandela,
right?
Everyone was convinced that he died what like in the 90s or something,
right?
And it turns out he died in
like 2012,
maybe something like that. It was in the 2000s. I'm sorry if I'm butchering that. I forgot to look that up.
From my phone's not cooperating.
Oh, no. But there was a significant amount of people who could have sworn they remembered him dying years and years and years ago, only to find out it was more recent.
Right.
So this became known as the Mandela effect because all these different instances started popping up. Some of them are almost hard to take.
Some of them really, really hit home.
Yeah, like Darth Vader.
Right. That one was big.
He never said, "Luke, I am your father."
But he did. Right. I definitely remember him saying, "Luke, I am your father." And like I've seen interviews with what's the guy's name?
Mark Hamill?
Nope.
That voice Darth Vader. The same guy. He was the voice
of Mufasa.
Yeah. What is his name?
Anyway, I saw an interview with him, like, recounting that experience. And he says, you know, when I deliver the line, Luke, you know, I'm not your father.
Yep.
He's like, I was wondering, how are they going to, James Earl Jones. Right. He was like, that's a lie. How are they going to be able to do this?
Yep.
But, yeah, like, not only that, the big one for me is Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
And it was in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being in school. I remember all this. I remember watching Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw talk about the death of Nelson Mandela. Like, I remember this. And then when I heard, like, in 2000 whatever, that Nelson Mandela dies, I was like, wait a minute. I remember this was before the Mandela effect, like
2013.
Yep. Okay. So this is before Mandela effect even existed. I remember in 2013 hearing Nelson Mandela dies. And I'm like, whoa. He's been dead. Like, what is this about? And it wasn't like, you know, like nowadays on Facebook, they'll say someone will post something like John Goodman's dead or an actor or someone's dead and they're really not dead.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that. Like, I remember
a historic event,
the protests and I just remember all of it like vividly, very vividly. And then in 2013, I remember thinking, what? What do you mean? He's already been dead. Like, I didn't think too much of it. I just thought that I misremembered something.
Yeah. One of my favorites is the big Sinbad genie movie.
Yeah.
And that one was mind blowing to me because the theory is people remember Sinbad starring in a genie movie back in the 90s.
I remember it.
Called Shazam. Okay.
Yep.
Now, I know that Shaquille O'Neal had a genie movie
called
Kazam.
Right.
But I remember that vividly. But I also remember Sinbad starring as a genie.
And I'm not going to confuse Sinbad and Shaquille O'Neal.
They are two different shades altogether. Like, it is distinct.
Literally, different shades.
Two different shades of man. So,
like, I definitely remember that. I remember Shazam.
Yep.
What's the Berenstain Bears? Like, that's
Berenstain.
Yeah, that's another one for me. Like, I remember those books, having those books, mm-hmm. watching those videotapes. That's another one that really hits home for me because I'm like, no, like that just seems wrong for me. You were mentioning some like the Chick-fil-A thing, and there's a couple others that really don't hit home to me, but there are some that I'm like, no, sir.
That really bothers me.
Right. The Star Wars, Nelson Mandela, Berenstain Bears, Shazam.
In doing research, we were talking about it briefly before we started. Apparently in Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter never says, "Hello, Clarice."
Right.
One of the most memorable lines that's ever been spoken. Jaws, that's another one.
Right, right. Gonna need a bigger boat.
Yeah, apparently he doesn't say that. and then how Harry Houdini died.
Right.
I could have sworn he died in a stunt where he was in a like chained up inside of a box underwater.
Yeah.
And was killed that way.
I can see it.
Not a ruptured appendix.
Like off a
years
off a,
later.
Off a bridge.
Yep.
Like I can see it in my head.
Yep.
You know?
I remember learning about that a long time ago. Not that he ruptured his appendix and died from complications.
You wanna know another one that hits home for me is the Oscar Mayer.
I just saw that. Yeah, how it's spelled.
It's spelled Oscar and then Mayer.
Right. That's in the song.
No, it's not.
It's Mayer.
Yeah, like that's what I remember. I don't remember Oscar Mayer.
Yeah.
What the crap's an Oscar Mayer wiener?
Yeah.
No, I want an Oscar Mayer wiener. Give me that wiener.
Give me that wiener. Gosh. Oscar?
I don't know who Oscar is, but his wiener is popular.
Yeah, his wiener got him super famous. Anyway.
There's all kinds of examples, and I encourage you guys to go and look them up, and because it's going to piss you off.
It really is. So be prepared. I have spent countless hours on YouTube watching Mandela Effect videos and the conspiracy behind them. And one of the biggest conspiracies behind the Mandela Effect is that we have now tapped into parallel universes.
What the crap does that mean?
Yeah, so now we are starting to have these vague memories of something slightly different because now people have gone back in time and have altered something so slightly that it's starting to have a ripple effect throughout.
Right. So I've looked up a bunch of theories on what people think this is. And the two that I can kind of make sense of is the back in time thing. And I was kind of talking about this with Alec a little bit. And he's like, time travel's not possible. I'm like,
Shut your mouth.
I'm like, you know, the theory of time travel is, you know, that exists. And basically what I was trying to tell him is once you get to the speed of light, time stands still because, movement is measured by, you know, a few variables. And one of those variables and you observing it is how the light reflects off of that object, and you visualize that, you take in that information and process it. So that's how the speed of light kind of gets into that. So if you move at the speed of light, things will stand still. And if you move faster than the speed of light, then things will then start going backward.
Time travel.
Anyway, that's just one of the kind of theories on time travel. Our buddy Aaron, who's a physics major, will probably tell me I'm butchering all that, but oh well. But what I try to explain to Alec was, I said, now follow along with me. I told him, there's this guy. His name's Alan. Okay.
Barry Allen?
No, not Barry Allen.
Not Flash? Okay, no. Sorry.
So this guy, his first name is Alan. Okay. No one watches that DC crap. There's this guy named Alan. And if someone were to go back in time, build a time machine that works, goes back in time, and Alan's great, great grandparents, they prevent those two people from meeting, then Alan would never exist.
Butterfly effect.
Right. Butterfly effect. Alan would never exist. Now, the reason I use Alan in my example with Alec is Alan is the person who introduced Lee and I.
Okay.
So I was basically saying, Alan doesn't exist, Lee and I don't meet, Alec is not born. So that is how they're trying to explain some of these Mandela effects. Someone changed something back in time, whether it be for good or bad or indifferent, whatever it is, but you're seeing the effects somehow displayed over multiple people's timelines.
Yep.
That's the first one that I can kind of say, all right, because I think, you know, time travel, that's a theory I can grasp onto. Yeah. I can get behind that. Mm-hmm. The other theory is a little bit more kind of controversial. That's where these guys at CERN. Now, what CERN is just a bunch of physicists and scientists in this European organization. They do like nuclear research. They use particle accelerators. And basically what they're doing is they are sending particles at each other to collide, like at the speed of light, whatever beyond the speed of light. And by doing so, they are creating many black holes. Hmm. Now, by creating these many black holes here on Earth, that is somehow some sort of information or something is being disrupted in the world that we know it. So I can kind of get behind that because there's some science kind of, you know, that's backing that up, because a black hole is something that is, we know that that exists. We know that if we're slamming these particles into each other, then these people are actually creating these mini black holes. We know very little about black holes, and this is freaking dangerous. And I don't know who let these guys loose creating little black holes over there in Europe, but that's one of the, they're saying that these guys over at CERN are screwing everything up.
Yep. So we are so desperate to tap into time travel that we're willing to put the Earth at risk. Yeah.
Right.
But do you ever think that what we are living in now, life as we know it now, is a result of time travel? Like maybe something was altered
forever ago?
Yeah. I think about that a lot.
Oh, wow.
I don't normally have time to think about things like that, but when I do, it kind of freaks me out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to think about that for a little bit, because that's trippy in itself.
Because it very well could. We just didn't know it because this is the only life that we've ever known.
Right.
But it could be the result of someone, just one person.
Right.
Going back in time, making one little change. Somewhere. Like basically
what you're saying is I could be a Nigerian woman.
Right. You're a doppelganger.
I could be a Nigerian woman, and then someone goes back and changes something, and now I'm Brian.
Right.
Still a Nigerian woman. Is that what you kind of you're saying?
Yeah.
Like, gosh, that is, I don't know. So that can, man, and if you start thinking about that, then you start thinking about all these deja vu moments.
Yeah. Yeah, that was another thing I wanted to tap into.
I've had deja vu so many times where I'm sitting there and I'm like, I remember everything that just happened.
And I know what's about to happen.
Right.
And that's, I forgot what that's called. I'll have to look that up.
It's called deja vu.
No, well, they have a technical name for it, and it's basically writing it off like it's just it's almost like a brain miscalculation. You know what I mean? I don't buy it.
I don't buy that, because as complex as our brain is, like my brain just doesn't do miscalculations often. If my brain did miscalculations, like how would I get dressed? You know, one day I would put my underwear on the outside of my pants. That, you know what I'm saying? Why is the brain miscalculation only specific to that one area? That doesn't make sense to me. Like, I don't buy that.
Well, it's definitely not the same as a brain fart where you just forget something.
You
specifically remember this happening and that something is about to happen.
Right. No, I've been.
I think that's a little more than just a brain miscalculation.
Yeah, like I can't.
Malfunction, excuse me.
When you say brain malfunction, that's saying that, okay, your brain is actively doing something. Okay, so your brain made a mistake.
Yeah.
Okay, but why is my brain only making a mistake in that one area? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense to me.
And it happens far too often.
Yeah, the math and the science don't back that up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because if my brain, think about it like a car, okay? That's a very good example mechanically how you can think of your brain. A car's engine and what makes a car work, okay? Everything has to be happening in sequential order for a car to fire up, for it to maintain running, and for it to take you to some place. If one component of that car goes wrong, what normally happens? It malfunctions, right? When that malfunctions, what else happens? Once you start diagnosing one problem, you see that that malfunction is not isolated. Mm-hmm. There's another malfunction somewhere else. And then there's another malfunction somewhere else. Over the course of the car's life, you may have 7 or 8 or 9, or depending on the car, if you're driving a Chevy, then you're probably going to have like 50 malfunctions, but they're going to be in different areas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So why is my brain malfunction only specific to deja vu? Mm-hmm. That makes no sense to me.
They call it cryptomnesia.
Yeah, that's craptomnesia.
Which is where information learned is forgotten but nevertheless stored in the brain, and similar occurrences invoke the contained knowledge, leading to a feeling of familiarity.
Yeah.
Because the event...
You know what that is?
Yada, yada, yada.
That right there, that's a thesis paper that someone had to write to get their PhD.
Sure.
You know, that's a theory. That's something that someone made up to... No, I don't buy that.
I don't buy it either. And to be honest, if you want to tap into another conspiracy theory...
I definitely do.
Because there's far too many scientific explanations for things that they don't want to accept could happen. You know?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Like,
yeah.
Like, nope.
Right.
Parallel universes do not exist.
Right.
Don't even think about it, exploring it anymore. It's just your brain.
So, a parallel universe. Tell me what that is.
So, like in The Flash, because we've watched a lot of that recently. I wouldn't give it a chance for the longest time. I thought his suit looked really dumb. I'm glad I started watching it. It's very interesting. It's very good. Captain Cold is my only critique in that, because he's kind of cheesy. Anyway, so they start diving into time travel, parallel universes and things like that, because the Flash has figured out how to go fast enough that he can travel through time.
There you go.
He wants to save his mom from being killed, so he wants to go back in time, save his mom, and then everything's great. But in doing so, he's going to lose everything that he has now come to love in his present life.
Okay.
So in doing that, he has now opened up this world of possibilities for doppelgangers to now enter his Earth. You know, he's on Earth.
So he's kind of opened, like, he's torn the fabric between these two universes.
There's different Barry Allens, and they all have, some of them are still the Flash, some of them are not.
Where do they exist?
It's different Earths. So they use the particle accelerator, I believe, to travel, or they don't use the particle, excuse me. That's how he got his powers, was the particle accelerator blew up. Right. But they travel between these universes and come to visit, you know, and come to interact. And he might need help from Earth 47 Barry Allen, you know, to come help him defeat this villain, or this villain from this Earth knows that he needs to kill this Barry Allen to do change something on his Earth, you know what I mean?
So basically what you're saying is you have, like, our Earth, our galaxy, our solar system, and that's just been copied
multiple times. Over and over and over
again. And somehow they have figured out how to get from the Earth that they're in to a copy of it.
Yes.
Somewhere else.
They can jump between universes.
And it's the exact same.
Yes.
No different.
Right. Well, I mean,
slight differences.
There's differences, because,
like, the Mandela effect.
Right. Right. And then you've got some drastic differences, like one girl who works in Star Labs with them is, you know, nice and helpful and kind and things like this. But on one Earth, she's a villain.
Okay.
And she's got these powers. She's Killer Frost on another universe, right?
Okay.
So she's a villain, and she can kill you by shooting ice out of her hands.
All right, we're talking way too much about the show.
Sorry.
But it's bringing us to the... it's bringing us to the... no one cares what she's shooting out of her hands. So basically what that is, that's saying, okay, so you have Earth, and then you have a copy galaxy.
Yeah.
Copy solar system, copy Earth somewhere. Mm-hmm. And that is where Mandela dies.
Right.
In 1980.
And then you've got someone from that universe that has made their way into ours and says, I remember that happening such and such, you know, however long ago.
So,
but I don't think they even realize that they have.
Let me ask you something. Okay. So if we pull up Google right now, we Google, you know, Nelson Mandela to tell us that he died in 2013. Mm-hmm. I remember him dying in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So am I from that alternate universe, or are we just connected somehow? And they're my memories and his memories, Brian from Earth 47, they're just connecting.
I guess that makes the most sense. Almost like, you know how they say twins?
Yeah, kinda, yeah, like, definitely.
Are connected.
Because
mentally.
If it's a carbon copy of yourself,
right?
You're going to share things.
Right. Almost like if one twin gets hurt, mm-hmm. it's like the other one can feel the same pain. Almost,
yeah, my twin, know? I have nieces who are twins, identical twins. And yeah, there's some real trippy stuff that goes along with twins. And they used to do, they could feel when the other one was sad. And it was real trippy stuff. Yeah. So basically, a carbon copy of us is somewhere else. And they may not be doing everything that we're doing. Or like, there's not a Brian and Blake just because we're sitting on the couch doing the podcast. Brian and Blake on Earth, you know, 32 might be skateboarding right now. Okay. Right. But somehow someone, maybe these CERN people with creating their little freaking black holes has connected these parallel universes. And somehow those memories were sharing our memories. Or our consciousness. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We're sharing our consciousness.
Yep.
Oh, that is.
So
wow.
When it comes to that and the black holes and the consciousness.
Yeah.
Where do you think that leaves room for spirituality?
Yeah. Well, especially when I just said, if I'm sharing my consciousness mm-hmm. with Brian 34 or whatever, if there's like multiple, let's just say there's 10, there's 10 Brians that have been carbon copied and we all share the same consciousness. Or maybe there's just two of us, you know, maybe there's just one parallel universe and he and I share the same consciousness. Your consciousness is what we would refer to as spirit, you know, your spirit. When we talk about going to heaven, you know, our body, our bones, our flesh doesn't go to heaven. Our consciousness does. Our spirit goes, and our consciousness is what envelops who we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's our thoughts, our emotions, our desires, you know? So, wow. I that's just trippy to me. If I share that with another person, like, does he believe in Jesus?
Right. That's what I was wondering.
We would have to, though.
Well, and I don't know where we sit, because the only examples that I can... Is the Flash.
Oh, God.
But I would like to think that Earth 49 Blake would be pretty much the same, you know, maybe slight differences, but as far as how I act and how I think, things like that, I think would be relatively close to what I,
well, let's just go with
version of Blake.
Let's just go with the example. I hate to do it, but freaking Flash. All right. So you said that this
Brian's obviously a Marvel guy.
Yeah. I'm a Marvel fan. I cannot stand DC. it's just whatever. So this chick in the Flash, one of her is good and the other one is a villain. Okay. So that would implement. So they would share. They would have shared consciousness, but their free will.
Yeah.
They each have their own free will.
Mm-hmm.
So they're able to make choices different from one another. because they exist in two different planes. So their choices that they're making, one has chosen, I guess, to be a super sweetheart, and the other one has chosen, you know, to have a resting bee face. So, you know, those choices are defining, because our choices define who we are.
Yeah.
Regardless. And if there's two of us, just like twins, they share things and they share experiences. And, you know, they're very similar, but their choices define who they are.
Yeah. And one, there's a few episodes where that same girl she actually figures out how to tap into that Killer Frost alter ego and, like, get those powers. But she's like the first one, you know, she's the first Caitlin, but she has now figured out how to become that Killer Frost on this earth. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's like a shared conscience.
It's a shared consciousness. Yes. So that could be how we have these things like deja vu. Mm-hmm. And that's how we could have these things like the carbon copy of me remembers. You know, Nelson Mandela over there died in the 80s, died in prison. I remember him dying in freaking prison, man.
Yeah.
You know, but that's his memory.
Yeah.
And not my memory, because I'm just tapping in, because these dudes over at CERN, you know, live in their mom's basements and have no lives and are freaking crashing particles into one another, you know, watching Star Trek marathons, you know. And
is it the Next Generation or is it
like, no, it's okay, like original it's Star Trek. OG. Yeah, there's no Jean-Luc Picard in these
Bill
guys
Shatner.
Yeah, so they're creating these little black holes and screwing everything up for everyone.
Yeah.
So wow, man,
it's so heavy. It's heavy stuff.
It really
it's
is
a lot to take in.
So basically, yeah, wow, so there is something that, okay, if this theory, let's work on this theory for a minute. So let's say these guys from CERN, they're creating these little miniature black holes, okay? And let's just say there's one carbon copy of Earth, okay? So there's just two of us, okay? So these little black holes are somehow connecting these two planes, these two universes, these two parallel universes, okay? So the more times that they create this little black hole, it would have to have something to do with there's some relative particle, or there's something that belongs to both. It would have to be antimatter.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll say it's antimatter. Okay, so they're creating this antimatter, which is now taking the place. So when you create this black hole, okay, let me slow down because my mind is going 100 miles an hour. So when you create this black hole over here, that it, the black hole is the absence of everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Light can't even escape from it. Okay. So it, once you enter this black hole, it's a void.
You get torn to shreds, right?
Right.
Anything.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's what
there's something called the vertical horizon. And once you get past the vertical horizon,
great band from the 90s.
Once you get past the vertical horizon, the black hole, the gravitational pull is so strong that light can't even escape from the black hole. Okay. So when you create something that is non-existent, you're creating a black hole. You're creating something that now there is a hole in our space-time. It has to be filled with something.
Yeah.
So what is happening, it's pulling from the parallel universe chunks of whatever it might be, antimatter in this case, and filling that hole that black hole, filling it and replacing it with things from that parallel universe. Wow.
Yep. Now,
oh, my head is on fire.
I'm reaching really deep here.
Right.
Do you think that if that ever got out of control.
Yes.
And a giant supermassive black hole, not just a Muse song, it is a right. It is a thing.
Right.
If that ever it's not just a really catchy Muse song that was used in several movies. If that ever became a thing, do you think, how are we going to be able to stop that? How are we going to be able to?
We're not stopping it now.
Right.
Like, here's my thing. Like, these dudes over in Europe, they just got together and made particle accelerators and started crashing crap into each other. Yeah. Like, hold my beer, you know. Let's see what happens. You know, there's no regulations. There's no oversight. They didn't ask me if I was cool with this.
Yep.
You know, they're not asking. They didn't even ask the scientific community.
They were just bored.
Right. Right. Like, they got, like, they beat Zelda for the, like, 934th time. And you're like, hey, let's crash stuff into each other. Right. Let's build a particle accelerator. But, like, there's no oversight now. So what's to stop them from saying, you know what, we're doing it with these minuscule, you know, particles. Screw it. Let's start, you know, crashing, you know, these plutonium, you know, ions into each other and see what happens. Yep. Like, what's to stop them from doing it? Nothing.
Nothing. And what we're going to be forced to do is assemble a team of metahumans.
Of metahumans.
That have been hiding out.
And demigods.
Yep. That the government's been kept on lockdown, training.
It does sound like the plot to an Avengers movie. Right.
And then all of a sudden, Sam Jackson comes out with his one eye.
Right.
And he's like, you guys are going to have to fix this.
These mother-loving particles on this mother-loving universal plane.
Man. And then Chris Hemsworth starts flying around.
All right, we're getting carried away with it. We're getting carried away.
Juiced up.
Juiced up.
Love it.
No, man. I did not expect to think this hard.
Yeah.
Like, going into that. Like, my brain is going 1,000 miles an hour. And, like, I can feel my heart racing because this is so, I just thought we were going to talk about, you know, the Ford symbol having a curly Q on it.
It's the cold brew.
Yeah, it must
be
the cold brew.
It's opening up your mind.
Yeah, but no, I mean, and I can see the fundamental Christians having a huge problem with this.
Yeah.
Just to say, you know, it's not in the Bible. God doesn't tell us about it in the Bible, so it doesn't exist.
Yeah. And
and the thought of you and just you guys even talking about it is blasphemous.
Right. Here's the thing. And it's like that segment on Bad Christian about the science segment that they do. When it comes to science, Christians are stupid because they are, because no one takes the time to research anything, you know,
because, here's the deal. I mean, they don't want to research it because
it's not in the Bible.
Because it's not in the Bible.
There's a lot of stuff that's not in the Bible.
What is Anne-Marie says? Parrots aren't in the Bible.
Right. There's so many things that aren't in the Bible.
Right.
But you need to do your research. And I think there's a whole realm of possibilities that we as Christians don't want to dive into because we're afraid of what the answer is going to be. But I find it very hard to believe that we are the only living creatures on one planet in all the planets and all the galaxies and universe and all that. I find it so hard to believe this is it. You know, and why is that such a stretch if I believe that when I die, my soul is going to, you know, to be spent in eternity with the Creator?
Right.
Why is that such a stretch?
Because, and here's what I think it all boils down to. we Christians for so long were pounded with this idea of evolution and the Big Bang theory,
yeah,
that related to science,
yeah,
and anything involving that, anything in, you know, remotely close to mentioning the Big Bang theory is automatically ruled out. Yeah. Is automatically, nope, you're an atheist, devil worshiper, and blasphemous, and, you know, God's word is truth, you know. But what we as Christians should do, and I hate being a Christian.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I hate that title.
Yeah.
I wish we had a different title post-Christian. Because post-Christian is what I'm going for, and yep. I'm going to start pushing here a little. I belong to post-Christianity because yep. Christian sucks. Because there's no objectivity.
Yeah.
You know, what objectivity is you take multiple points of view, okay, from any kind of event, any kind of information. You take multiple points of view and you interpret them. And then you have some sort of openness to multiple viewpoints, to multiple ideas, to multiple variations of that same event. But the key to objectivity is the willingness to question your own point of view.
Mm-hmm.
If you cannot question your own point of view, if you cannot think critically about something that you believe in, you can't be objective. You cannot. You are then closed-minded. Mm-hmm. And I can see a Christian saying, I'm okay with being closed-minded when it comes to God. I'm not okay being closed-minded when it comes to God, because that's putting this creator of everything in a box and saying that you fully understand them and that you have a exact idea of who he is and what he's capable of.
We haven't even come close
no.
to understanding who or what God is.
Right. Right.
And we're never going to know.
Right.
There is not enough right. people. There is not enough time in what we are given to fully understand no. God.
And I don't think we're meant to.
No. It would be dangerous.
And here's why know. Here's why I feel like we're not meant to. All right. So I mean, we can't even know the name of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We can't even comprehend the name of mm-hmm. God in our feeble human minds.
Mm-hmm. That's just what we have
right.
come
we,
to.
We call him God. Mm-hmm. We call him Yahweh, mm-hmm. Jehovah, whatever. But we cannot comprehend the name of God.
It's all our pea brains can handle.
We can't even get his name, let alone his attributes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we can't even get the name of God. And that in itself should tell you that we can't handle who and what he is.
Yeah.
We only use, scientists say we only use about 10% of our brains. Okay. 10% of our brain's capability. Let me say that. Einstein and some others, and the reason they know this is they hacked open Einstein's brain after he died and, you know, started looking at receptors. And anyway, they say he used about 12% of his brain. Now,
good Lord.
Now, this is what Einstein could do. Einstein could look at math equations. Okay. He would look out, just stare out, having a picnic somewhere, stare out over the horizon, and he could see, he could form those numbers as if they were real things in front of him. And he could do math equations right in front of him without pen or paper or anything like that. He could visualize these things as if they were a 3D object in front of him. He could look at time and space and the fabric of space and see it out in front of him as if it was a 3D projection. He once saw a horse galloping and he could take the horse and basically in his mind levitate the horse. The horse didn't levitate, but his mind levitated this horse and was, you know, looking at how the muscular structure of it works and things like that. So he used 12% of his mind and he was able to do, you know, absurdly, ridiculously awesome things. The average human being, they say, uses around 10%. People in Sumter probably use about 3 or 4%.
And that's being nice.
No, I love my city. I love my city. No, but honestly, like, dude, we can't even imagine if we had full capacity of our brains.
I don't think we can handle it.
Right. And I think that's what, if we start talking biblically speaking, I think that that's what the serpent in the garden was trying to get Adam to obtain.
Do you think as time goes on, we start to use more and more of our brains?
I definitely think so. I think there's and we today, they say the average use of the brain is around 10%, but 500 years ago, yeah, it was around 7%.
Yeah.
And you had people say like Leonardo da Vinci or whatever, at his time, he was using 10% of his brain. And, you know, he's considered to be this innovator and genius and everything like that. Well, we've caught up to where the maximum potential was there. So in, you know, 500 so years from where we are today, people will have caught up to Einstein type deal.
Yeah.
So that type of mentality, that type of knowledge, that type of intelligence will be the normal. And then you'll have your few people who are, you know, working off like 15, 17%, whatever it may be. I haven't ran the numbers for that of what it would be, but you'll have these geniuses who are using more of their brains, who are capable of doing even more.
Yeah. So what happens when we start to get into like almost every bit of our brains?
Yeah, I think that's when God ends the world.
Yes.
Yeah, because we look at, like I said, the serpent was trying to get Adam to have that full knowledge of God, to have a mind or a capability or an intelligence to know as God knew, right? And God was like, no, you know, you can do anything but eat from that tree. Why? Because I don't want you to have that knowledge. You know, you don't need that knowledge. You're good. You just need to exist and be and be thankful for what you have. And he got tempted, you know, by the serpent. And I think that's the devil's main thing, is to try to push us further and further and further along to try to make us more godlike.
Yeah.
You know?
And then even if we used our brains at full capacity, we still can't come close.
Nope.
To God at all.
No.
Not even a little bit. Not even a dent in what he is able to do.
And yeah.
It's crazy. Do you ever think, and I think one day we need to talk about this as a separate podcast episode, but as far as the Big Bang goes, like you talked about.
Yeah.
Whenever it's referred to as the Big Bang, they're talking about it was a random explosion, and then boom, we have the universe.
Right.
Did God not create everything in a Big Bang form? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like he spoke it into existence, right. And it appeared. Like that just makes sense to me. But
it's a scientific explanation of how God created the universe.
But that's all that we know of him, Damon.
And I'm okay with that.
You know, like it. I don't know. I just it's really difficult for me to think this is it, as far as intelligent life.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Because we can go into aliens at another time. But
right.
Universes, living life forms in this galaxy. It's really difficult for me to think that way. I don't think it affects my spirituality at all. I still believe
in
God as a creator, as and his son as the savior. But I think that he's got a lot more going on than what we can ever imagine.
Right. No, definitely. And look, I'm okay with saying that the Big Bang created the universe. Like,
yeah,
I'm okay with saying that because I'm okay if that's the way he did it. Like, why can't God create the universe in a Big Bang?
It wasn't like science was created to debunk God because God created science.
Right.
It doesn't make sense for people to think that way. But I think, you know, Christians will take this idea of, well, an evolutionist says that this is how it happened. And I'm just not going to go with that because they don't believe in God. And that goes back to, you know, thinking that atheists are horrible people. And so they just go against them and it's this side versus this side. And
right. But here's the deal. Like, why can't God use evolution to make human beings?
Yeah.
Like to go there's definitely in science, there's a missing link between, you know, Homo erectus or and Homo sapien or whatever, you know, that there's something in between there that just doesn't make sense. And, you know, who's to say God didn't use that evolutionary thing to say, okay, this is the model I like. Let me go ahead and, you know, put the final touches on it and send them and do it. You know, why can't that be? Why? And I guess because in the Bible, it talks about God making, you know, Adam from the dust, but that's okay. Like, that's pretty much what evolution is saying.
Yeah.
I mean, you
started
were,
from the bottom, now you're here.
Yeah, you were formed from ash and dust and rock and mineral from, you know, a meteor. And
you evolved into a human being.
And you evolved into a human being. And that's basically God's version, just scientifically explained.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't look at someone and say, and I'm not saying I believe that. I'm just saying I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't look at someone and say, oh, you are not a Christian. You do not believe in God and you don't have a relationship with God because you believe in evolution or you believe in the Big Bang. That's ludicrous, man.
That is just beyond me. I don't know. You need to be more open to a message to Christians. You need to be more open to science, to the possibility of more than what you know here on this earth. I think it's almost an insult to not want to know more than that. You know what I mean?
Right.
God's given you this ability to explore and study and
think objectively.
Right. And you don't want to. I think that's so insulting. And you're doing yourself a huge disservice. But anyway, I believe that there is a possibility of parallel universes. I think it's kind of scary that we're trying to tap into black holes or we are tapping into and creating black holes.
Right.
But trying to tap into time travel, I think we're seeing results of time travel somewhere that I'm not going to put it past.
No.
Anyone that they might have already done that, you know?
Yeah, like I'm completely okay with saying that that's a possibility.
Like someone in 1942 would have a really hard time believing that in the year 2018, two guys would be sitting on a couch,
right,
speaking into a microphone and broadcasting something
right,
that someone across the world could listen to,
right,
at the drop of a hat,
right,
off a device that is the size of a calculator.
Right. You know, definitely.
They didn't have calculators back then. But anyway. You know, like, so I'm not going to put it past my brain that there may be, you know, in 100 years, they've actually mastered time travel, you know, and they figured out a way to go back in time without screwing things up.
I've been trying to look up the theory of once we get to like 30% of our brain's capability, what they're saying would be possible, and it's pretty freaky.
Is it really?
Yeah. Like it just 30% is just pretty like, oh my Lord.
And so that makes sense that even if you got some, if you reached full capacity.
Yeah. Like, and this is just a theory. This is just a theory, yeah. You know, but being able to alter your eye color and hair color.
Yeah.
Like by yourself, just by thinking about it.
Right. Holy crap.
Being able to, like hear internally what someone's body is doing just by sitting there, being able to see on different light levels and density levels.
Dude.
It's pretty freaky.
So what you're telling me is that if we ever could figure out how to use those certain portions of our brains, then maybe, just maybe, we could be superheroes.
Yeah. But not in our lifetime, bud. Sorry.
Not in our lifetime.
Yeah.
But I'm not giving up
hope. Put your cape
up. Yeah. I'm not giving up hope. Maybe my great-great-grandchildren will be able to shoot laser beams out of their eyeballs.
Titus Andromedon.
Titus Andromedon.
Andromedon Mosley.
Little Optimus Prime.
All right, this was good.
That was good.
I think we could talk for a lot longer.
Oh God, yeah.
About this, but I don't think we should.
We simply do not have the time.
No.
And I don't think that everyone's brains could handle it if they're only using 10% anyway. I know that anyone who follows us on Instagram or likes us on Facebook or listens to us and subscribes, I think they use 11%.
Oh, I'm brains. Yeah, definitely 11. Pushing 12%.
Pushing 12.
Pushing,
yeah.
Einstein.
It's like 11.7.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd
say. Yeah.
So kudos to you. For those of you who want to access that part of your brain, again, you should subscribe.
Yeah.
To this podcast on whatever your favorite podcast platform.
Mr. Dave said his favorite platform was his back porch.
That was good. That was really good, Mr. Dave.
Yeah, I just wanted to say hello to Colorado, New Mexico, Connecticut, and New Hampshire.
Hey.
Those are some new states that have reached over 10 streams.
I have never been to any of those.
So I just wanted to say hello to you guys, and thank you for listening to our little thing that we do here in Podunk, South Carolina.
Yep. We are slowly expanding. We love it. We want to get to know all of you beautiful people.
Just say we're slow and just leave it at that.
Yeah.
We're just slow.
We're slow. So you can find us, in case you're wondering, because someone actually mentioned something on our Facebook today about posting a link to listen to the episodes. But we're available on so many, it's really kind of like whatever you want to listen. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So I shared a link to the Anchor FM because that's what we use to broadcast. We're just available on
all the platforms,
all the different ones. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Anchor, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, all of those things. So if you're listening to us on any of those, go ahead and subscribe. We hope you like what you hear. We've got a lot of cool interviews coming up.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And deep stuff
that we
got coming out here soon.
Looking forward to it.
Again, follow us on Instagram at Not Religious Pod. Like us on Facebook, Not Religious Podcast, or send us an email to notreligiouspod@gmail.com. Leave us a rating and review. That helps us out a ton. That helps us grow. That helps us make better episodes, because maybe one day we'll start getting paid to do this and we'll be like,
it's in the works.
Oh,
I sent the paperwork off yesterday.
We are signing our lives away. It's definitely not going to be like the human centipede. God, no. I really hope not, at least.
No, don't.
Have you ever seen that?
No, but you and Travis told me about it and it gave me nightmares. Oh, God.
Sorry. I was trying to see if we had a...
Well, while you do that, I'll talk about my music suggestion.
Go ahead. Yeah, I forgot to do that. My bad.
That's all right. Consumed by Fire is the name of the band.
Okay.
And the song I like is Follow Your Heart.
Okay.
Consumed by Fire. I follow them on the Instas.
Yeah.
Kind of a Christian folky. Yeah, be careful when you say folky.
Cause yeah, it could get really turned around
close,
there.
Yeah. Anyway, check them out. I really, really have been enjoying this EP that they put out, Lean On Me. I like it. Check them out.
Okay.
Consumed by Fire.
Consumed by Fire.
Like the three Hebrew boys. No, they were not consumed because Jesus stepped in.
Because Jesus was in there. There was a fourth being in that fire, son.
Praise the Lord.
Thrice is back. Did you ever listen to Thrice?
Yes.
I loved Thrice. Recently found out from Mr. Dave that the singer of Thrice actually had a few worship albums that he put out. Did not know that. I'm going to check that out.
What's his name?
Dustin Kins. I think it's Kinsru is how you spell it. I'm going to be honest. I thought it was Caruso for the longest time, but it's not.
Huh.
Yeah,
I remember. I remember Thrice definitely because Lee has a. I don't think you have. I think this is on her mom's side. She has a cousin named Thrice.
Yes. Yeah.
Or no.
Thrace. I think it's Thrace.
Thrace or Thrice. And as soon as I got introduced to him, I was like the band?
Like the band. Dustin Kinsru, that is his name. I'm probably butchering his last name. But yeah, he's got some worship stuff. I hadn't listened to it as much, obviously, as I listened to Thrice. But they have a new album coming out. It's not quite out yet, called Palms. And there's two songs available on Apple Music right now, one called Only Us and one called The Gray. Both of them are fantastic.
Okay.
I like listening to both of them.
Yeah.
I go way back with Thrice.
And I like the fact that we had a podcast and your stupid fiance didn't try to butt in and get airtime.
She's not stupid. She did walk through the living room.
I know. And she was waiting for you to say, hey.
Polite,
whatever.
And very.
I wish we had a video of that interaction on our last podcast because you're like, "Hey, babe, like, why don't you come in here and talk about the blah blah blah?" And she was trying to act all like, "Oh, me? Oh, okay. I don't have anything to say." And I know that she'd been texting you all day about it and talking to you all day about it. Like, "Hey, can I get my chance? Can I get my 5 minutes of fame?" And just so fake, man. God, that's what you have to look forward to in your nuptials, man.
I can't wait. We should do our wedding
on the podcast.
On the podcast.
Let's save you a crap ton of money.
We're trying to save as much as we can. Trust me.
All right, people.
Sorry, guys. Off on a tangent there, but thank you again for listening. Subscribe on all the bullcrap.
Yep.
And follow us and whatnot. We will see you guys next week.
Be nice to one another.
Be wise to one another.